Good morning. I hope you had a great 4th of July. My wife and I, we watched The Amazing Spider-Man on the 4th. And on our way home, we got to see some fireworks. We weren't sure they were going to do fireworks since it was cloudy and it's monsoon season, so you never know what the weather's going to be like, but I guess it cleared up. I don't know about, Tucson is kind of, well, I'm new to Tucson, for those of you who don't know, but it's kind of weird, huh? There's some places that are just ready to rain, and other places are clear, and I don't know about where you guys live, but where we live, we were able to see fireworks, so praise God. Fireworks are always fun. Today I want to talk about co-laboring in the kingdom of God, that God has called us to labor with Him, which is an amazing thing. You know, God doesn't need us to work with Him, but He invites us to work with Him. Now, if we, as we read in 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9, Paul, the author of this letter, is talking about co-laboring with the Lord. And let's turn there real quick if you're not there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you notice, Paul says, "What after all is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants through whom you come to believe." And I want us to catch this phrase right here. "As the Lord has assigned to each his task." Now, to give you a little background on this, Paul and Apollos, they were apostles of the church. I'm not going to get into too much what apostles are, that's another talk. But they were leaders in the church. But I believe each and every one of us, whether we're leaders, pastors, apostles, we have an assignment from the Lord. And he says here, "The Lord has assigned to each his own task." And I want to share some principles of co-laboring with the Lord through this passage. The Lord has assigned to each his own task. The first point is this: know your assigned task. The Lord has assigned you a specific task. It's always important to know what that is. Some of you are students, so you know the importance of this. When you're in class and the teacher gives an assignment, you need to know what your assignment is. You can't just bring in a project that has nothing to do with the assignment. No matter how hard you tried on that project, if it doesn't fulfill the assigned task, you'll fail that project. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Now, in your own life, God has given you an assignment. He has given you an assignment, I believe, to finish at the end of your life, but at the same time, there's an assignment in front of your life right now, what you're supposed to be accomplished in this particular season and time of your life. Now, in John 17:4, Jesus said, and this is Jesus speaking, at the end of his life, he says this, "Father, I brought glory to your name by finishing the work you have assigned me to do." Jesus brought glory to God by finishing his assignment. Now the opposite can be said, that if we don't finish our assignment, then God won't be glorified. Co-laboring with the Lord, the first and most important thing, know your assignment. What has God called you to do? Now, for practical wisdom of knowing what you were called, first of all, pray. If you don't know what your assignment is, pray. It's so important. Just like in class, just like in school, if you don't know what the assignment is, what the homework is, what do? You ask your teacher. You ask the professor. Second off, be faithful where you're placed. Again, it's so important to be faithful here and now and not just be so in the clouds with what I'm going to finish in the future. For example, there's a man named Joseph in the Old Testament, and Very early on, he had revelations from the Lord that he was supposed to be a great ambassador, and that he was supposed to be so great that he had, I think, 7 brothers. he had a couple of brothers, and in his dream, all his brothers kneeled down to him. His parents kneeled down to him, and you know, the Lord gave him his assignment to finish. What happened was Joseph forgot to just be faithful in the little things, and he started blabbing about what he's going to be, what he's going to do at the end, and he almost didn't finish that assignment because his head was so puffed up. My point is this: be faithful where you are right now, because there is assignment, not just the end of your life, but right now. What is that right now? If you don't know, ask Jesus. Ask the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit. Second practical wisdom: know your giftings. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And there's a couple of passages: Romans 12:3-8, 1 Corinthians 12:4-11, Ephesians 4:10-13. I'm not going to go through these passages today. That's another talk. But those are passages where it talks about spiritual giftings and callings. And Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians, diligently seek spiritual gifts. That's a command from the Lord. Not to seek giftings from the Lord isn't a form of humility. It's a form of almost rebelliousness, because the Lord commands us, seek it. We should know it, and we should use it to serve others. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, again, I'm not going to talk too much about it, but seek activation in your giftings. We see in Acts 19:6, it says, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. These are believers who already knew the Lord, but it seemed like once Paul prayed for them, certain spiritual gifts were awakened in them. There are other examples. First Timothy 4:14. And 2 Timothy 1:6. In my own life, I remember in college, I felt like God was calling me into ministry. Ever since I became saved, I got saved in college. I came to know the Lord when I was 19. And very early on, I felt called to go into full-time ministry. But I remember every time I would speak in a public setting, such as in school, I had to take speech class. That was my worst subject. I hate, you guys are like saying, oh, duh. No, but I hated going up in front of people and speaking. Every time I would go up, I would just clam up. I'd be so nervous. The way I envisioned my talk going, it would not happen. And I would, after I gave my talk, I would sit down and I would feel horrible. I would feel ashamed, embarrassed, you name it, I was feeling it. It was just the worst feeling in the world. I sometimes feel that even today. But it was just every time that I would go up and speak, I would feel like, oh my gosh, that really sucked. One day though, I had to give a presentation, and I said, Lord, if you really want me to become a pastor, which involves speaking, you're going to have to help me. And so I put the Lord to the test almost. I didn't test the Lord, but I kind of put out a fleece out there to see if this is really what God wants me to do. And so I prayed that. That day, or the next day, when I gave my presentation, it was amazing. It went the way that I imagined it going. And it never that never happened before. It happened after I prayed, Lord, would you help me? If this is something you want me to do, I didn't say it in this way, but basically I was asking, give me the gift of speaking. Or at least give me the gift of thinking I could speak, so that I won't feel terrible afterwards. And the Lord answered it. He was gracious enough to answer it. My encouragement to you is this. If you feel like you've been assigned something and you're not gifted in that area to finish that assignment, ask God. It's maybe just a simple act of faith of asking. It may just be a simple step of being activated in that area of your life. Finally, last practical step on this is to fan into flame your gifts. 2 Timothy 1:6 says this. Paul is saying to Timothy, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Again, Timothy was activated in this gift. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was activated through Paul's laying on of hands. And Paul is saying, you know, just don't use your gifts. Excel in it. When you fan a flame, what happens? It grows, right? It gets bigger. And Paul is saying, Timothy, you have giftings. And I want you to fan it, make it bigger, make it greater, of greater use. If we look at 4:14, it talks about don't neglect your gifts. Some of you, I believe, have gifts that are being neglected. And I want to say this. Those neglected gifts, if they're laid dormant, you will not be able to finish all that God has assigned you to finish. If those gifts that are dormant aren't fanned into flame, you will not finish the assigned task. I'm not saying you get a fail, but you might not get the A++ that some of you are very... No, I'm being serious though. You won't fail, but you won't accomplish all that you're assigned to do. I don't know if I shared this story with you, but several years ago, I was watching this movie called, I believe it was called Michael. You guys seen that? It's with John Travolta, and he plays the Archangel Michael. And he comes to Earth. I forgot the exact details, but he's on Earth, and he's a human, but he has wings. But he's human. And while he's on Earth, he wants to do all these things, like go to these famous sites and do all these fun things you could do on Earth. And at the end of his life, or at the end of his stay on Earth, he says something very eerie. He said, "I didn't do what I came here for. Or I didn't accomplish what I came here for." And those words, for some reason, struck me. That I don't want to be like Michael. There are a lot of things here, fun things to here on Earth to do, right? I don't know about Tucson, but outside of Tucson, there's a lot of things fun to do. But, you know, if we get distracted by those things, if we get distracted by all the earthly pleasures, we won't finish our assigned task. I'm debating whether to continue with this message or to, we're going a little long. So let me just say a couple more in co-laboring with the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul talks about, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God made it grow." And something we need to learn is to embrace the mundane. Not every day is going to be spectacular in the kingdom. It doesn't have to be that way, but unfortunately, it is for many of us. The daily grind of being in the kingdom. But learn to embrace it. Brother Lawrence, in practicing the presence of God said, you know, I learned to practice God's presence even while I was washing dishes. Learn to embrace the mundane. Paul describes his ministry kind of like a field. And you guys probably heard the expression, it's as exciting as watching grass grow. Meaning it's not very exciting. And in Paul's life, it wasn't always exciting. There are times when it was boring. Because in the kingdom, it's like a field where things grow. Of course, I've mentioned this many times. I don't have a green thumb, and I don't really care for gardening, so I don't go water the plants that often. In fact, we've never watered our plants once while in Tucson. We have trees and stuff, and it stays alive. I don't know how. But we have not watered the plants once. But apparently, if you do like gardening, you water your plants every day. Toshio, I'm sure you water your flowers, roses, every day and take care of them. But if you're gardening, you're not expecting to see dramatic changes overnight. I mean, sometimes, you know, one day it's there and one day it's not, but for the most part, you go and you're faithful. Water, do whatever you have to do, and just, you know, and that's what you do. And same with the kingdom. Be faithful. Faithful in small things. Luke 16:10, it says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Learn to embrace the mundane. It's not going to be exciting. And you know what? People might not see it. But if you're faithful in the little things, God says, I'll entrust you with more. And we need to be sure that we do our part. It is co-laboring, working with the Lord. So it is labor. God won't do our part. God made the heavens and the earth, but God didn't make the car you came in. God didn't make this microphone. God didn't make the guitar. God didn't make... He didn't make churches. You know who made churches? People did. God used people to make these things. God won't do our part. But if we're faithful in doing our part, you know, He'll do things that we can't do. He'll do His part. I want us, in the kingdom, it's so important that we do our part, whatever that is, whatever that assigned task is. And finally, God is so gracious that as we sow into purpose, sow into knowing what we're called to do, that there is a reward to be reaped. In 1 Corinthians 3:8, he says that he will reward people according to what they have done. Now, I don't know about you, I love rewards. I love being rewarded. And God is so gracious. We serve such an amazingly generous God. Not only does He wipe away all of our debts, not only does He cancel all of our curses, but He qualifies us to heavenly treasures. And let me tell you, investing in the kingdom will always give you a better return. Amen. Investing in God's kingdom, you can be sure that it will give you a return that is greater, far greater than what you put in. I've heard it said on earth, you know, if you hear something that's too good to be true, be suspicious. But in the kingdom, if it's not too good to be true, be suspicious. Because that's how generous God is. If it's not too good to be true in the kingdom, then you're being cheated. I'm telling you, in the kingdom, if you invest in the kingdom, you will never be disappointed. It will never return to you less than what you put in. That's how generous God is. And I'll just close with this, Jesus saying in Matthew 6:19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace, Lord, to co-labor with you. Father, even now I pray that you would awaken our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to know what the assigned task is in our lives. Both what we're supposed to accomplish at the end of our lives and what we're supposed to accomplish here and now, Lord, this season of our life. And Father, I pray for those of us who have spiritual gifts that have not been activated, Lord. I pray, Father, for an activation, Father. I pray you would awaken spiritual gifts in some of these brothers and sisters right now. I pray, Father, you would give them the hunger and the desire to seek out the gifts that have been placed in them, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a moment, we'll be participating in communion. Here at JCCT, we practice what we call open communion, which is simply, all you need to be is a believer in the Lord. You do not have to be a member of this church to practice communion. The way we practice communion here is you take the element, the cracker, and you dip it in the cup, and you partake of it there. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" I usually don't share this part, but I'm going to share this part. I feel the Lord is asking me to share this part. Verse 27 says, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks a cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." And verse 30, it says, "That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep." The Apostle Paul was giving instructions on how to take communion in a proper manner. And he says this, The body is, the bread represents Jesus' body, which was broken for us. And the blood represents the new covenant. And he said something interesting. He said, some of you are taking communion and aren't really taking it seriously. And the reason why you're sick and even some of you are dying is because you're not taking communion too seriously. It just baffles me that the Apostle Paul would say something so serious. It doesn't baffle me that he's serious, but just the tone of not taking these elements seriously can lead to sickness, health problems, and even death. And, you know, again, I believe the Lord's grace is much greater than His judgment. Amen. So I believe in the same manner that not taking communion seriously can lead to these things, that when we take communion seriously, I believe a grace can be released in our lives where it can be a healing thing. Just as it can bring sickness in God's grace, I believe if we do take it seriously, it can bring God's blessing. Amen. So I encourage you, as you come and take communion, receive God's blessing. Not His judgment, but His grace. As you remember His body broken for us, His blood shed to wipe away every curse, every disease. New covenant of grace for us.